Yes, we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution, and it's right here in the hometown we love of Sacramento. And today on our show, we are going to talk about what we're doing. We're putting our money where our town is. We're putting our effort where our town is, helping local founders to build world-class companies in an effort called the Growth Factory. So in today's show, we're going to talk with Monique Brown. She is one of the co-founders of the Growth Factory along with me. Unfortunately, we're missing our good buddy and fellow co-founder, Rick Spencer. But Monique and I will share what's happening, because it's very special. You're going to hear the word love come up, and you're going to be like, what? What are you guys talking about? There's actually some love taking place among our team and among the founders that we are helping. So stick around. I hope you enjoy today's show. You're going to learn a little bit about what we're doing, and there's also going to be an opportunity for you to get involved if you're interested. So stick around, my friends.
Well, we haven't done this in a long time, but I have the pleasure of being joined by Monique Brown, one-on-one, me and Monique. We haven't done this in a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years.
We've always seemed to, when you come on the show, we usually have somebody else on the show, but today it is me and you and talking about my new favorite subject. I won't call it yours, the Growth Factory, and all the things that we're doing in the startup community. So welcome.
So excited to be here, and it is one of my favorite topics too.
Yeah, and you know, when I say welcome, it's you had to walk upstairs. You had to walk probably about 50 steps, yeah. Do a little stair climbing to get up here into Mark Tank. For those of you that don't know, Monique and I work together. We are the co-founders, along with our other co-founder Rick Spencer, of the Growth Factory. And the Growth Factory is an accelerator with an accompanying venture fund and a backyard advantage. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And we're going to be kind of putting on the different hats. The hat of a startup founder, the hat of a somebody who wants to come in and help a startup founder, a mentor. We're going to be putting on our angel investor hat or our venture capitalist hat. And then also, I think we want to put on our civic partner hat, our civic leader hat. So be talking about these different areas as we walk through what's been happening with the Growth Factory. So the Growth Factory, Monique, I don't know if you like the way that I described it, but we've been, to use your term, we're a startup. We've been building the airplane and attempting to fly it at the same time. Tell us from your perspective about this journey.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's an exciting journey. I think it's something that, you know, we've been working on for a couple years, right? It just hasn't been put together. The pieces haven't been put together in the way that they are finally coming together. And so I feel like all of the work that you did, you know, over the many years of podcasting and just kind of beginning to tell the stories and elevate entrepreneurship in this community, and a lot of the work that I've done just, you know, in the trenches supporting programmatically or mentoring or pitch competitions or whatever, you know, connecting people with resources. Like, a lot of this has been like our research, I guess I would say.
Yeah. R&D.
Right. For creating a program that I think is right for Sacramento. So like, our accelerator and fund is not a model that's new to this world, right? It's done incredibly well around the world. And we're really fortunate to be part of the global accelerator network. And learning from, you know, managing directors and investors of 120 programs globally. And that's been fantastic. But this is for Sacramento, right? Like, we're doing the Sacramento version of this. And I think it's just been exciting to see. I think it's the right time. And you kind of know that because things start to come together in ways that maybe you wouldn't have imagined.
Okay, let's talk about that. So my follow-up question is, what did you expect didn't happen, or what happened that you didn't expect?
What's happened that I hoped for, but I wasn't confident that it would happen, I guess I would say, is just the community reception, right? The enthusiasm from people. Like, it's just this concept of acceleration or entrepreneurship as like a key component to our community, our culture, and our economy is in every conversation that I'm in now. That and you would say, well, obviously, because that's what you're working on, but I'm talking with people who are bringing it up to me now that never would have had this on their radar before, right? And in that, like civic partners or corporate partners or community leaders or, you know, educators who are like, how do we do more of this and do it better? And how do we support our founders? And, you know, like questions that just really for years, I feel like we've been banging our head against the wall a little bit, or people have thought that well, that's nice that you're doing that over there, but it's not relevant to me. And all of a sudden, I think the way that this has come together post the difficult pandemic kind of situation, I think has catalyzed it a little bit, but the reception has been tremendous.
So. Yeah. Sometimes I say that the Growth Factory is a platform that really has handles on it. So whether you're a mentor, a civic leader, a corporate person, an investor, there's a place to grab a hold and help. And I think before what we were doing at Haney Biz, much of the same type of work, but it didn't feel like there were handles. I guess I was in this world where I thought there was a way for people to jump on and help. And I think at some level they did. And so I'm appreciative of those that have. But now it's becoming crystal clear mm-hmm. of how to jump on, how to grab a hold of what we're doing. So let's put the different hats on for a second, because we've invested into 15 really world-class people who really have the potential of being world-class founders. They have great ideas. They're solving big problems. And let's dive into that from the mindset of these founders. We brought them together. They run through what and what are they feeling as they go through this Growth Factory Accelerator?
So I can tell you what they're running through, and I can say what I think they're feeling based on conversations we've had. I'd love to hear from them too. But so essentially, we have created a program that provides a year of structured support. So that's like the first place where this Startup Accelerator in Sacramento is different from many others around the world. Oftentimes, they're 12 to 16 weeks. You build a pitch deck, you have a demo day, and you know they wish you luck. We are building a community, and we are investing in people, like you said, and we want these people to succeed, hopefully their companies as well. I mean, that's a big focus, right? But we just believe these are relationships that we hope to have for 20 years, right? So we're investing in people and really want to come alongside them on that company building journey and make sure they have what they need to succeed and grow quickly. So 12 months of structured support. Stepping into the first 16 weeks is more intense. So we're in the process, in the middle of that now, and we have things like our weekly founder lunches, our weekly accelerator calls. We have some amazing, amazing, talented, generous mentors who've come on board and are leading us through different workshop sessions and discussions, which have been hugely valuable, offering office hours and the like. And so this first part is really focused on what we say is market acceleration. So traction, how quickly can we get there? How quickly can we test our assumptions of our business and you know, kind of validate those assumptions with the customers in our market, and then build the model so we can grow, you know? And so, and then fundraising is a huge piece. And we were just talking about it before we jumped on the podcast, right? One of our hypotheses is that we're going to help these founders move from seed to series A or pre-seed to series A, which means they have to go on and raise future funding, right? And that we will be able to help them get ready for that. And we're 2-3 months in and it's already happening, which is incredible. You know, they're, you know, just, you know, through the network and through the work that they're doing, meeting other people in our network and onboarding new investments and, you know, definitely moving quickly and on their way, which is great. And then the final piece, which I love, and I'm so grateful to our partner, Craig Hetrick, for working with us to build this, is a program called Founder to CEO. And it's really interesting because this is the piece that resonates with a lot of people who wouldn't, you know, in the community that wouldn't necessarily label themselves as entrepreneurs. But when they hear about this program, they understand like the journey that these founders are taking. You know, they're passionate people, they have a product and they have a purpose, they have a problem they're solving, and they're really passionate about that. But many of them haven't been a CEO before, right? And as we know, when you onboard your first employee and then some, and you start taking other people's money and you have to report to investors, all of a sudden that founder hat really begins to transform into a CEO hat and the job changes, right? And we've heard from founders that they're surprised or unprepared for some of the expectations that come along with that switch. And so really the bulk of our program after the first 16 weeks is a program called Founder to CEO to help them as they transition from these amazing world-class founders into hopefully amazing world-class CEOs.
Yeah, we talked about the backyard advantage being the people of Sacramento, and would I, you know, is the most committed, successful people, the leaders of Sacramento come on to help us to grab a hold of this platform. It really is an advantage for helping raise money, for helping give guidance. And I've imagined that we have a bunch of successful business partners in our backyard that all love one another. And then that really is the secret sauce, is that love. And so how do you make that happen? Which is kind of an interesting thing, because you think of this as investing and high finance and startup stuff, but where does love come in? Rick often talks about that because he's quoting something I've said a few times and sharing it with our friends. But I saw that happen in the beginning stages of that happen over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And just last week, we had one of our founders who lost their CFO or their CTO. One of the people that is really important in their company ended up leaving the company for some reason. And that was probably devastating at some level. And the founder was able to share that in a safe space and have some people who understood what she was going through. And I don't think that most founders have that. Where do you have that? When you're a 2-3 person team,
that's right,
and stuff hits the fan, yeah, or you have a real tough moment.
Right.
How are you supposed to share that with somebody? Because right, you're supposed to be wearing around the confidence hat.
Yep. No, that's so right. And you know, you can't talk to your family all the time, right? They don't want to hear about it 24/7.
Yeah, there's a lot of tough days as a founder.
You know, and you're not going to talk to your junior marketing intern who you've brought on board to help with social media, right? And sometimes, you know, you don't have investors or partners or other trusted people in your network that you feel like can support you through this stuff. And sometimes you feel stupid, right? Like, oh, maybe I, you know, it's my fault, or I missed something. I don't want to go sharing that around or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we've seen it, to your point, we've seen it happen in these early days, and that's a great example, but I've seen it in a lot of other ways already. And our founders are, I think startup founders in general are hungry for a community of people, like-minded people, in the sense that they're, you know, taking a risk and they're owning their journey in a way that maybe many other people don't, right? And they are so supportive of one another. But you can't make that happen, yeah, right? You just choose the right people and you create the framework and you set the tone, which you do beautifully, right? Like just from the beginning. And I think we see that not only with our founders and each other, but our mentors are showing up and just so excited to be a part of this very loving community. And I'll use a different example than you. So it wasn't in a difficult time necessarily, but I was in a workshop with a couple founders yesterday and one of our mentors, and they were having so much fun. Like they were having so much fun together. And it was so additive.
Right after I left, huh?
Yes,
because
right
I was in that. As soon as I left, you guys started having some real fun.
They were having so much fun. But the value that was being created, like the energy, you could see like ideas ping-ponging off of each other. And it was just like the ramp up of, you know, what's going to come of that? I can't wait to see, because they were just so additive to one another, and they never would work together in a business setting outside of a thing like this, because they're tackling completely different markets and people and whatever. But yeah,
you know, and there's nothing wrong with building your business out of your garage. We've heard the great stories of people building incredible companies out of their garage, but how many founders were building their company in their garage or in their, you know, in their mom's basement or whatever, and missed that opportunity to have some laughs with their friends and great ideas generated in those loose environments. And when you're going through a really tough time or like a battle like entrepreneurship is, going through it alone, how does love end up manifesting itself? But when you go through it with other people, it's like going through any tough time with any other people that get it, like you get it. That's where the love comes in, and that can't happen. That I think that's the beauty of the growth factory. And I think that you know, because so when you say, oh, it's the love is the difference, it's like, wait a minute, it really is happening. I've seen it before in other organizations, but it's happening in ours, and it's special to see.
It is really special to see. And I always say, like, when we talk about this, it's not you, me, and Rick that's going to make this successful, right? Like, you know, we're kind of setting the table in some way, right? Mm-hmm. And you've certainly set the tone, like I said, beautifully, just the culture of the organization. But really, it is the founders helping, it's entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. How long have you been saying?
Yeah, I've got,
right?
I've got every mantra right? in the book.
It's entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. It's that power of with, because it is, you know, people who want to see the people in our region succeed. And I think that, you know, and that's where we see partners like Five Star Bank show up, who, again, been there since day one, really early adopters of this idea of the importance of entrepreneurs to our community and our economy, really showing up and investing in them as people, because it will make a difference.
Yeah, I guess we're proving what I guess all startups learn, is that just because you have a good idea at the beginning, it takes many times years to figure out exactly how to get the MVP the way you want it, so you can throw fuel on the fire. And I think our fuel on the fire is, you know, we go out and raise investment money. We're bringing on mentors and civic partners in a big way. And now we're able to throw fuel on this concept that we've been working on for such a long time. The mentors. So we've had our founder hat on for a second here, the mentor hat. And, you know, you're in touch, you've built out this mentor network by, first of all, grabbing some great leaders. But give us a little more in-depth feeling of that vicariousness that we get by working with these ambitious founders. We get to live, we get to help them, of course, but we get to live alongside them without having to sort of take it home. And it's like being a grandparent.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say, it's like being a grandparent. You've been there, done that. And it's been on you in the past, and you've got the battle scars to prove it. And the fact that those battle scars can be used for the benefit of somebody else feels good, mm-hmm. right? Like, it feels good. There's a purpose behind that, that really just, I think a lot of our mentors are grateful to have the opportunity to share, right? And you talked about recruiting great leaders. Well, we were so lucky. One of our early presentations for the Growth Factory, DJ Stefan, co-founder of SkySlope, was there and said, hey, I want to help. I want to get involved. And I think we were like, really? You know, like, okay, that'd be
Aren't
cool.
Aren't you busy?
Like, really? You know, and that is part of the hope, but not yet confident. Like, I think we hoped that kind of thing would happen. But when it did, it was like, that is so amazing. And he's been phenomenal, right?
I want to make sure that DJ Stefan, co-founder of SkySlope. SkySlope is a startup that has skyrocketed in Sacramento's entrepreneurial landscape. And they have a huge market share around the country in real estate software, transactional. It's a real estate software business, and it has really blown up, mm-hmm. and it's a huge success story. So it's not like we just got somebody that was really committed without real success behind himself.
Well, and that's his second company, right? Yeah. Like, he had a previous exit before that. He's been through accelerators. He's, you know, mentored other companies. He's made investment, you know, so it's just, he talk about get it, right? Like, he gets it. And one of his things, you know, was like, I wish this existed in Sacramento when I was growing my companies, right? And I want to create this for the next in line. And so, you know, he has been a huge thought partner for me. I'm super grateful for, you know, his thought partnership as we think about, like, what are the best ways to get our mentors engaged and who are the right mentors? Because I think that's the other thing is, right, we're building a community, not of people that come to the table with a what's in it for me attitude, right? But we're building the table, you know, building a community with those that are coming with like a generosity mindset, right? And who are there because they want to help create abundance for, you know, themselves and others, right? Like, because I think it's just, you know, it's not a zero-sum game at all, right? Like, and you, you know, so finding people whose mindset is aligned with that culture and who are excited to dig in and share their expertise. And we just have had, like, just the most phenomenal. I mean, Larry is another person that comes to mind as just one of the mentors that surfaced through this. And he's
Larry Chillamy, yeah.
Yeah, he is a CFO. He is CFO of, you know, a large company in Woodland, I believe, right? And gosh, you know, just the most humble, but like seriously valuable resource, right? And his engagement has been so additive. And he's just one of, you know, now close to 70 and hopefully growing, continuing to grow, that have stepped up. Yeah.
It's interesting to think about because people, you hear the word, oh, I'm giving back, or, you know, donations and charity and, you know, philanthropic type of stuff. We all, I think many people who have had success feel that way. But when I remember after selling my companies, it was like, well, what am I going to do with my life? And because I wanted to do something that helped others. And so I'm wearing my veteran shirt because Wounded Warrior Project. I like being around veterans because I think they're the heroes of America. And the other group of people that I love being around is entrepreneurs, especially the startup founders or the people that really have a growth mindset. And so for anybody out there who's thinking about, you know, I've had some success. I want to give back. I have that sort of mindset, but how do I make it really fun and rewarding? Well, there's nothing if you've had success as an entrepreneur, there's nothing like being around those other entrepreneurs like that, to bring you, enthusiasm. It's right. Not just giving back. It's fun. It's like a party. Like just a fun party, but it's like a...
it's so meaningful.
It's meaningful.
It's so meaningful and it's interesting. And we find that, you know, the learning goes both ways, which is what is so cool, right? Yeah. Like as you continue to learn, because these founders are innovating, you know? And so, you know, you might have expertise in one area, but boy, are you going to learn some stuff working with these founders. And it just... that just makes it fun. You know, it's not always easy, you know, and definitely, you know, there's a long future ahead of us here. So, you know, talk to me in a year, but like, you know, I think that it, you know, from what our mentors tell us is this is fun because it's additive to their life, right? Like in addition to the ability to have purpose and sharing what they've learned, they're learning.
Yeah.
And they're with other mentors, right? Too, right? It's not just mentors. Founder, but like the mentor community is connecting with one another. So yeah,
that's really interesting to see too. It's almost like a club effect, right? There's like, I like to live vicariously through these founders. I talk about that occasionally, but the idea of being around other people that have the same kind of values that you do, have had some of the same experiences. I mean, these are really good friends to have. They're the people that you may already know, but there's a lot of people that you do not know that, like, these people are in Sacramento and they've had all this success and we're all kind of together in one room helping these 15 founders. It's kind of a cool thing. It's like, I always imagine, what if the 1,000 most successful people in Sacramento got together to help one founder? What could we do with that founder? What could we do with that company? And the answer is we could do amazing things. And we're actually seeing that manifest right before our very eyes. And it's and we're seeing these people become friends with one another that didn't even know each other. One person may live in El Dorado Hills, meet somebody from Elk Grove or Roseville, and it's like, wow, I didn't even know you existed. Mm-hmm. But they do. There are successful people here in Sacramento gathering to help this effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool to see.
It is. The other hat that I think is important to put on, because I think when it comes to a club effect, having investors in the room, because there are other accelerators around the country and even in Sacramento that are doing great things. But when you have an accompanying venture fund, when you bring the do-re-mi into the equation, it adds I would say, I'm going to call it a level of seriousness.
It
right?
levels up.
Yeah,
it levels up everybody's game.
It does. Yeah. It's like, whoa, these guys are throwing in, the growth factory's throwing in money. Now I really have to perform. This isn't just showing up for some voluntary class. class, no, I'm being paid to be here to a certain mm-hmm. extent. Mm-hmm. So be here, take it in. I'm giving up equity for that investment. And this is a real deal. These are real business transactions. And I think the investors have an opportunity by investing into a company like the Growth Factory or a fund like the Growth Factory to be really close to the action, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just putting money into the stock market or maybe even just putting money into some angel investment. No, you know the founders. Mm-hmm. You get to know them. You're in the club with the founders and the other investors, and it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I think that's where Sacramento can differentiate itself as well, right? Like, because even in other venture funds in other regions, right, you have a general partnership that's probably less open to having all the LPs show up at your weekly founder lunch or your weekly dinner, right?
Right.
And we're saying, come on in, right? And we want you involved and we want you to build relationships and, you know, and so for those, and I think also the other piece of that is, you know, you talked about getting more capital off the sidelines here in the region. And, you know, this is such an efficient way to do that because we're investing in 100 companies over the next 4 years. What a great learning experience, right? Like the ability to come in, invest alongside all of these other LPs, get close to the companies and the action, learn about the, you know, the investing process, right? Like, and I think, you know, it's just, it's something that I haven't seen in other regions done this way. And I think there's a lot of opportunity, both as a community to, you know, hopefully like part of our LP group, you know, maybe there are LPs in our fund that will be the next fund manager, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't it be great if, like, you know, through this process, you know, we're spinning off future fund managers as well, right? Which is getting more capital off the sideline.
Absolutely. Region, yeah. So. As we think about what's good for our region, what's good for our hometown, more venture capital is good. Venture capital is not evil. When people invest into these startups are driving all kinds of opportunity. They're solving enormous problems and creating economic growth for the region. And typically these companies are doing business globally or at least nationally, but they're based out of Sacramento. So Sacramento gets sort of an outsized benefit by having these success stories in Sacramento. But in order for these companies to get off the ground, they need venture capital.
Right. And that's been a gap in this market for a really long time is that seed and early stage funding, right? And I think, again, an opportunity post-COVID is, you know, historically, oftentimes, even if they were able to kind of start here to get that next round of funding, they would have to move because investors would require it, right? And so we lost really good companies to Austin and the Bay Area historically over the years, right? But now that geographic proximity is just not as important as it was before. And so we're seeing instead venture dollars starting to seek new markets to invest into. And Sacramento is ripe to take advantage of that as long as we have investable companies. And so getting them seated and started here, surrounding them with the love of the community, which engenders both loyalty and, you know, roots really, you know, and, you know, building teams here, the potential for then that follow-on funding to come into the region and continue to grow the companies in the region leads to job creation, you know, tech jobs, wage, you know, good high paying tech jobs, that sort of thing. And all of that is net benefit to, you know, to our community.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because venture capital as an asset class is blowing up. And you and I read up on this stuff and we wonder why is it blowing up? Because it feels like people are wanting to, I think the reason it's blowing up so much is because it's working. I was on a call earlier because I'm invested into a number of funds, and that particular fund is doing really, really well. But they're not the only one that's doing well. Right now, many venture funds are doing well. People are doing well in angel investments, and others are hearing about that, and they're sort of migrating that way. I think last year, Sacramento got $250 billion in venture funded into it, which is like an eighth of what Austin got, right? If we aren't getting our fair share of the venture dollar today because we don't have the ecosystem built out yet. But with the Growth Factory and some of the other work that's being done right now, we're already starting to see some of that change.
100%. And I'll just say $250 million.
I think million.
I just want to clarify that.
Yes. Million.
But you're totally exactly right. And I think that, and to your point about, I think the other thing that's changing, I want to highlight is, you know, there have been a lot of people doing, you know, heavy lifting in this region for a long time. I would put you on that list, but other, you know, people like Dale Carlson, people like the team over at Startup Sock, even, you know, team at UC Davis, like there's just people who have been, and, you know, the team at Moneta launched a fund here back when it was maybe a little less obvious that that would be a good thing to do, right? And have done great things for this region, right? But what is really exciting about right now is you have kind of leaders in key positions who have been doing this work, but are now in a position of leadership and they're working together. Mm-hmm. And so I would say like Dale launching the Carlson Center and having Cameron lead that has been a change over the last 2 years that's been truly beneficial. Us, you know, launching the Growth Factory and kind of taking our efforts to the next level. Startup SAC is continuing to just be that consistent drumbeat, you know, of community building every week, you know, running events and gathering community and making connections, right? And you're starting to see, you know, and the Kings are expanding their capitalized competition, right? UC Davis is onboarded, you know, some new SBDC, you know, capabilities. You know, there's just leaders in different positions that are starting to level up their initiatives and they're working together. And that's going to be the difference.
I agree with you that so many of the seeds have been planted and they're beginning to blossom. And yeah, I said 250 billion last year. Obviously it's 250 million, but one of the partners that we have in this Growth Factory effort is GSEC. Mm-hmm. And Barry Broom, the leader of GSEC, we're encouraging him to adopt our billion-dollar dream. So to go from 250 million in venture capital in the Sacramento area to at least a billion, right? We have Austin who's doing close to 2 billion. We should at least get to a billion. So we need a we need to set a goal that has us at least four times where we are today, because this is a venture capital. This is an asset class that really it's looking for good companies, and Sacramento has great people. We just need them to be, we need a few more that are investable.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it remains a high risk asset class, but I think the thing that we look at is in addition to the companies that we're building, once again, we're investing in people. And so people are not wasted investments, right? Like they will go on if this particular initiative or company that they founded ultimately, because some will fail, ultimately doesn't succeed, you know, they'll go on and found another company or join another team or become, you know, a lead, you know, innovation lead within in a corporate, right? Like, and so I just look at like, all of the investment we're making is net positive. And then the ROI, like the financial ROI, you know, we've got some great founders building really good companies. I feel really, you know, optimistic about, you know, the financial upside of it as well. But I think without question, you know, the work that's being done is going to yield dividends in this community.
Agreed. Success breeds success. We've all heard that term. And I remember sitting around the kitchen table with my mom and dad as they talked about their small business often and talked about this, you know, most of the time it was my dad dreaming about how great they were going to be and my mom bringing him down to reality. But I was able to witness their banter and really sort of live vicariously through them as through their small business. And I think that shaped my mindset. And I didn't really know it at the time. It wasn't like, wow, I don't care about being a pro football player anymore. I would now want to be a, you know, small business person. It wasn't that. But you think about this, the subliminal things that make you think about doing something important in your life, those things that sort of like are lasting and maybe give you a sense of confidence. If like, if my mom and dad can do it, I can probably figure out how to do it too. And I think that happens when people succeed. I've seen it happen even within the entrepreneurial ecosystem within, take SkySlope, for example. We have those two founders come together because one of them has already had some real success. He comes on board with the other co-founder and now the thing really blows up. And now the companies that there are spinoffs from SkySlope in the Growth Factory.
I know, that's
it's
so
like,
cool.
Whoa,
I love
this
that.
Is happening. Yeah. Like success breeds success. You're an employee in a startup that blows up. It's like, if Tyler and DJ can do it, well, shoot, maybe I can do it too.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And that's a culture shift for our region. I think that is in the process of happening right now. And the more people that we have succeed, the more that we will see it. It's a virtuous cycle, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so we've often talked about how many amazing leaders came out of Sleep Train and Dale Carlson's, you know, ventures, right? And now we are starting to see that, you know, companies coming out of, you know, SkySlope and others, right? And that is so exciting to me.
It is. So you think about where we're going as a growth factory, where our founders are going. I mean, paint me a picture, Monique, because you're in touch with what's possible. I think you're in touch as much as anybody in the region with what's going on nationally. I want to be the best Sacramento that we can be. But what does that look like in terms of a startup? You know, as we put on our civic leader hat, if what we're working on really, really works, what does that look like for our region?
That's a great question. I think there's a couple things, and it is starting to happen, but I think the first thing I would say is, you know, maybe historically this region has felt a little bit siloed, right? Like you have little fiefdoms, you know, or cities that, you know, have you know, not worked together and haven't taken kind of that regional approach. And I think for any innovation or entrepreneurship ecosystem to be strong, you have to break down walls, right? Like you have to build relationships and connections and, you know, not reinvent the wheel, but identify strengths and share assets, right? And so like what we see in other communities that are succeeding well is that kind of stuff is happening really well. The business community, the civic community, the nonprofit community, and citizens all come together with a shared vision of how they can make, you know, their region great, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that's starting to happen for us, right? And, you know, we see it here just in Placer County with the three mayors of Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Rockland, and the collaboration that they're starting to have, you know, between the cities and stuff is, you know, if you win, I win, right? It's right. not like a zero-sum game. It's not like if you win, we lose, right? And so I think like fast forward, right, you know, 20 years, right? I think entrepreneurship and innovation are a significant piece of like kind of the regional economic portfolio, you know, and you have many funds and many accelerators, right? And you have universities that are, you know, moving students into entrepreneurship and launching, you know, companies out of college and stuff like that. And you have a workforce, a talented workforce that is both attracted and grown here because there are such cool companies to work for, right? And so you have a, you know, an educated workforce with a lot of really, you know, jobs that, you know, are not just minimum wage jobs that are above minimum wage and create for really good life for families, right? Yeah. And so I think like that is 100% possible and we are on the path. It is early days and we have to work together. And it has to be that, you know, it can't be done just by the Growth Factory, right? It can't be done just by the Carlson Center. It can't be just the city of Elk Grove saying, hey, we believe in the value of entrepreneurship and we're going to incentivize, you know, companies to move here, you know, and we'll support them, which is awesome that they're doing that, right? But it can't, those are breadcrumbs, right? Like we need to put all these ingredients into a big pot and work together to make something that's bigger than any one of us.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship is the cool factor in business. And I think some of us know that. It's almost like it's not a secret, but a lot of people don't know that. They don't get it yet. And I think as we are successful, as the walls are being knocked down, and I think they are, we see that with our collaboration, our collaborative approach, not just our collaborative approach, the collaborative approach that's happening in the startup ecosystem. As this happens, a mindset ends up changing and more people will end up getting it and understanding that this part of our economy is really the cool part of the economy. I think it is where it's where we discover a lot of innovation things. It's where we discover about ourselves, who we are inside when we put everything we have into a project. It's where instead of dreaming about being the pro athlete, they could dream about being a great entrepreneur. Because I think in Sacramento, people have been thinking about, well, my mom and dad work for the government. You know, I just want to do the 8-to-5 thing. And I think that we're a town that's been raised that way to a certain extent. But I think it's possible that that can change. And I look at it as it's one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, one investment at a time. And eventually it happens because that success does breed more success and it does breed a change in mindset.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that I just talked to an entrepreneur the other day who was with the state for 11 years and just jumped to go full time into his company. And you know what I think is that because there are an increasing number of resources and there is more conversation and there are more, you know, like your podcast stories and there are community events, it becomes possible. Like, how many other people have worked for the state who have that idea, but they, I mean, it just, it, maybe it seems like crazy, like, well, I can't go do that. Yeah. And there's nobody else doing it or nobody else talking about it or whatever. And so you just stay, right? And, you know, it was a, I had a great, he's amazing. He's going to do really cool things, you know, great conversation with him. But he was like, yeah, I just felt like, you know, it's time and we're getting this kind of feedback. And, you know, and so I think it is, and it's not to say that, I mean, we still need people to work for the state. So thank you for all of our state workers that are.
Thanks for keeping the roads safe.
Exactly. 100%. But I think that it's just, I think it's the entrepreneurship is a really important piece of any community, any culture, and any economy. And I think it's just been underrepresented here in the region for a long time, and that's starting to change. And I think it's only going to be a good thing.
And we only have a few minutes left, but one of the things that you mentioned about the person working for the state and just deciding to be an entrepreneur, there's different, I guess, how to put this, there's no age limit on being an entrepreneur. So there are people that are thinking about retirement. They're 45, they're 47, and it's like, hey, I can retire at 50. I'm 2% at 50 or whatever my retirement plan is. You know, you could start a business at 50. We have, I'm not the only old guy running around the Growth Factory. We have another guy that's probably roughly my age that is a founder. He is building something really, really cool, really smart man. And, you know, you can be a 50-year-old person or a 60-year-old person and be a founder, and it's fun. You're going to live longer if you're living versus, you know, spending your time bored at home.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting that you say that, because I was going to say earlier, right, like one of the things that I think is awesome about Sacramento and the Sacramento founders that we find is they're not like Mark Zuckerberg, you know, at 19, right? Like they're not that teenage kid with a hoodie, right? Like that's like got a new app. Not that, again, not that you know, new apps aren't cool, right? But
hoodies are welcome here.
Hoodies are okay. but I think like there's a stereotype that many people who maybe aren't as familiar with like entrepreneurship may like put in their mind and then think that's not me. But what we see are like, you know, really amazing science coming out of UC Davis solving like big problems, right? Like these companies are solving big problems. And a lot of times it is the, what I call the mature entrepreneur, right? Like the more, it is the older, you know, they have the industry experience, they have the networks, they have maybe a little more financial wherewithal to, you know, to provide some longer runway. They, you know, and so there's a lot of like, I mean, there, and we do have a diverse cohort, both from, you know, backgrounds, perspectives, age, gender, right? And it's only additive. It like makes the community amazing. And you have people who've been there, done that, that are sharing with new founders that have that haven't yet had a career, you know, and vice versa, right? Like the, you know, kind of maybe those that aren't, you know, as, you know, jaded or whatever, I have a fresh perspective on things too. So, right, it goes both ways. But yeah, hell yeah, you can start a company at 60 and succeed. And we would love to meet you if
you
that's
bet.
You.
You yeah. bet. Okay, so closing thoughts and how to get involved. I think people know me, get a hold of me at the Mark Haney. I want to meet every entrepreneur in Sacramento, whether you're part of the Growth Factory, whether you're a small business that just wants a sounding board. I want to meet every entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is beautiful, and founders are, you know, they're just the people I want to live around. But if they're specifically interested in the Growth Factory, Monique, how to get involved?
That is a great question. I would just say we can put in the podcast notes my email. Send me a note. Yeah, send me an email, because we are like looking for obviously entrepreneurs, but you know, mentors, civic leaders, citizens, like people who are just interested in how do I get involved? How do I support? How can I rally around these founders? Or if you're a founder, obviously, and you want to grow your company here, would love to meet you. Focus on venture backable founders for the Growth Factory, right? But like Mark will talk to anyone.
I want to. And yep. if you the Growth Factory, we are a startup, but we have a website, growthfactory.us.
Yes.
So if you just want to like thumb through what we're doing,
yes.
good place to kind of good starting spot, and then get a hold of Monique or of course me or our co-founder who wasn't here today, Rick Spencer. Get a hold of one of us. We will show you some love and guide you through. Even if you are just dreaming about the idea, hit us up. We'll get you connected to the right people in the regions so that you can take that next step in your entrepreneurial journey.
Yep. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. And today we did talk about the Growth Factory and the backyard advantage, which is probably the part of the Growth Factory that really separates it itself from what others might be thinking about doing in terms of just building out an accelerator and an accompanying venture fund. The backyard advantage is so possible here because of the people of Sacramento. The people of our region, I think, are very unique. I think in many ways, California ends up getting sort of a bad rap, right? They were sort of like all lumped into this category and, you know, you guys are all out on the beach. Well, or maybe in the big cities and, you know, the minds, you know, the what people imagine California is not really what Sacramento is. And Sacramento in many ways is almost like a Midwest town, maybe a melting pot with a Midwestern personality where neighbor wants to help neighbor. And that's really what is happening with the Growth Factory. It's modern day barn raising where one neighbor is helping the other to build the business. And it's possible in a town like Sacramento. And that really is the backyard advantage. And Monique and Rick and myself and the rest of the leaders of Sacramento are rallying together with this platform to help the most promising founders in our region. So if you are interested in getting involved, you know where to find us. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for our security, our freedom, and our way of life, we salute you. And of course, to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, we're never above you. We're never below you. We are always by your side.
fights you in vain. The name of the play, we are the U.S. of A. For those unaware, that flag is still there. It's our future to save. Stand of the brave, the U.S. of A. Oh, say, just that star-spangled
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.